Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that it is to us. We pray that you would open it up to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And as you do that, Lord, that we would discover how much you love us, how much you want us to be your children, and what a privileged place that is to be. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I don't know, we're finishing the series in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things, if you remember way back, I did say about this gift that sits on a shelf and it collects dust and it's unopened. And sometimes we might open it up and think that we can take over the house because God's given us everything. Well, I just want to take a step back. What if we get to the box, we unopen it, and we look inside and we go, it's really neat. What is it? And we don't know what actually it is that we've got in the box. And it's kind of weird, and we're trying to go, well, how do we operate it? I don't know if you've ever had one of those gifts for Christmas and you open it up and you go, well, this is really amazing. I don't even have a clue what it is for. And the person has to explain to you what the gift is. Have you ever experienced that? Some people are nodding. Some people are going, never, because I can work it out all the time. But if you're like me and a bit simple sometime, you look at things and you go, I'm not sure what that's supposed to do. And I'm glad when people come along and go, here's how you use it. And I wonder for us sometimes, is that what the spiritual gifts are like? We kind of open the box, we look inside and we get really excited and we go, that's nice. I don't know how to use it. And so we think, how do we actually go about unleashing that spiritual gift? How do we go about sharing it with others? And how do we go about using it? And I think that's so important to understand. And the first point I would want to make is the first place we go to is prayer. Pray about it. God, I've opened this box and I'm not really sure what's going on in here. Maybe could you just help me to understand it a little bit better? Give me the eyes to see. Give me the way to I can understand what it is you exactly want with this. Because I'm not sure. It's okay to be unsure. It's okay to be not 100% certain. In fact, I think in the zone of a little bit of doubt comes great blessing. In that sort of uncertainty, you learn more than you can possibly think. You know, in that zone of uncertainty, it brings about something of you wanting to learn more. I don't know, that's what I do. If I don't understand something, I want to read more about it, learn more about it, begin to understand how it can be unpacked and used. And that's the first port of call, maybe, is a bit of prayer. Talk to God about what's going on in front of you. Maybe the second part of it is go to God's word. I wonder if you unpacked a gift and you weren't sure what it was or how it operated. Say it was a difficult electronic device, for example, and you went to it and you went, I know how to use this, and you started just pressing random buttons. And the TV turned on, which is great, okay, but it's on the channel you don't want it to be on, or the volume's gone up to maximum and everybody in the house is going, turn it down. And you don't have a clue about how to operate this thing. What would you do? Would you just keep on playing with it until you finally got it? Some people do that. That's cognitive learning. But actually, what about opening up the instruction booklet and beginning to understand what it might mean for you to be able to operate it? And when I say God gave us an instruction booklet, and if you want to understand, the Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. So we can pick up God's word and begin to understand what it means in context and what it means in different parts of our life. And so using the reference of God's word, we begin to understand and unpack the instruction booklet, and we begin to understand what God is doing with us with those spiritual gifts. And so I think that's another means of understanding. What are these things that we've got, these spiritual gifts that we've been given? And the third thing maybe is to talk to somebody and pray with them. You know, it's okay to go to somebody and say, look, I'm wrestling with this. I'm trying to work out what's going on in my life. I'm trying to work out what God's trying to say to me. I've read this in the Bible and I've been praying and I've been talking to God about it. And he's kind of saying this, what do you think? And often it will be really helpful insight from somebody else. You know, the hardest thing sometimes is from your own perspective, beginning to understand what God is doing. Sometimes God has to use the wisdom of others to go, I think God is saying this to you. Please make sure it's a trusted person that you would trust your life with, because I think this is a really important thing to begin to understand. And so therefore we begin to discover what those gifts are and how we might be able to employ them. And I want to reiterate this statement. God has given this church in this space right now every spiritual gift that you need. Every spiritual gift is here in this space right now. And that's exciting and scary at the same time, because with a big church, you can kind of sit in the pews and get away with sitting in the pews and hiding. In a small church, that's harder. You'll notice more. And well done you guys for being in a smaller church, because you are noticed and you're appreciated that you're here. You're a real gift just by being here. But God's got so much more for you. And God doesn't give us gifts because he wants us not to use them, as we saw. A light is not hidden under a lamp, under the bed, and just hidden under so it can't give light. A light is put on a lampstand so it can give light to others and the rest around. Maybe your fear is the thing keeping you under the bed. Maybe your worry about what other people might think about what your gifts might be are keeping you under the bed. God is saying, no, bring it out, put it on the lampstand. Doesn't matter how old you are, how tired you are, whatever you're doing, bring it out and put it on the lampstand. That's part of why we've been doing this series, is to say, don't be ashamed of what God's doing in your life. Be proud of what God is doing in your life. God has said you are the salt and the light. And salt and light are two very useful things. Makes food tasty. Salt makes food tasty, and it preserves things as well. I always love my steak. It's got to have salted before. It's got to be dried and cured a little bit before we put it on the pan. And then you fry it, and you just fry it to a perfect temperature, and I eat it and I love it. But if I just didn't bother tendering and seasoning it, it would be relatively tasteless. And I think this is the important thing to understand. Christians bring good news to people. They don't just bring this sort of average news or just below par or bad news. And let me tell you, the world is ready to have a bit of salt in it. The world is ready to have a bit of light in it, because it is bored, and it's hard when you hear week after week how bad things are. How about let's share some good news with this world? Let's tell the world what God is really doing and how he's doing it. Then if we put our gifts on the lampstand, whatever gifts we have, it will complete God's work in our community. And that is part of what it is. And also God gives it not just because he needs us to do it, because God is God, he can do what he likes. He does it because he wants to partner with us. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. God wants to partner with us. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to be interested in all the coming and going of our lives. He wants to support us in talking about him and showing our love to the world, his love to the world through us. Isn't that cool? I don't know about you. And so he could choose to bypass us with all of that and just go straight to the source. But instead, he says, do you know what? I'm going to pick you up. I know you've probably had a tough day, but I'm going to make your day happier. Go and do this. The many, many times that I've thought, oh, I'm a bit grumpy today. I don't want to get out of bed. Got to go and do this. Got to go to church. But actually, sorry, Sandra. I love coming here, really. But some days it's harder than others, isn't it? Some days it's harder to actually get out of bed, do these things. And that's where God comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in. It livens us up a bit. It gives us the zip and the pep. I've been taking vitamin D recently, and it's been such a good thing to take. You remember when Michael Mosley was alive, he said just one thing: take vitamin D daily, and you'll be surprised at the results. And I'll tell you what, it's made my life so much better. It's the same with the spiritual truth and the spiritual reality. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit every day. See what happens. Just, it's my challenge to you for the next month. Just go in the morning, go, Lord, I'm yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let's see what the day brings. Amen. Simple prayer, doesn't take long. Just as soon as you open your eyes, if you're like me, when I get awake, my brain just starts to kick into action. So before I start thinking anything silly about the world, just say that simple prayer. Lord, I'm yours. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Simple prayer. See what happens. And I'd love to hear the stories about what God does with that prayer. And I want to share this, the final bit about the gifts. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You see, there's all these missing bits in the middle. We've got the frame and the edges, and we've sorted all of that out, and everybody's done really, really well. Bits of pictures missing in the middle. Each one of us is a part of that. Each one of us is a part of making those pictures and doing different things. And when a piece is missing, we notice. Because it's harder to understand what the full picture is like. And another thing is, I used to play a lot of rugby when I was a kid. It's a great game. It's a beautiful game played by violent men. I don't know, maybe not. But the one thing, when I started playing rugby, it was a game for all shapes and sizes. So you had your big guys that would stand in the front row, your tall guys that would be in the second row, your fast, fit guys that would be on the side of the scrum, your really fast guys on the wing, and your tiny little guy who was quite mouthy, standing in scrum half. And that was the team. It was the makeup of the team. And it fitted together, and everybody had a purpose and a job to do. You couldn't, modern games kind of put that out of the window. But certainly when it was amateur, it was exactly like that for my team. And every person had a job to do, no matter their shape, no matter their size, no matter their fitness levels. And that's like us for the church. Everybody has a job to do. No matter your spiritual fitness, your worries, your concerns, all those other things. Let God work on that with you. Open yourself up to his work, and then allow yourself to be told, shared, you know, I see you going this way. Allow God to guide you with the Spirit. Empower whatever natural abilities you have by supernatural ways. And then, as we see in our reading and in the reading of Zechariah, God says, not by power nor by might, but by the power of my Spirit. See, contextually in Zechariah, the Israel's being destroyed and it's about to be rebuilt and it's being undertaken, and it's going to be a tough task ahead. And if you imagine, rebuilding the temple was almost like a symbol of rebuilding God's presence in the community. That's what often people misunderstand Zionism to be. It's about a presence of God in a space. And this is what Zionists believe, that they need to build the temple, have God fill it, and the presence of God in that space heals them, fixes the land, fixes the people, reminds them of the promise of God. And so it is with this whole situation. The temple's destroyed. They need to rebuild it. And they think it's going to be by political muscle. And sadly, that's what's going on in the world right today in Israel. They believe it's by political muscle. But what does God say? He doesn't say no, not by political muscle, not by this powerful maneuvering and this angriness and this kind of hatred towards other people. Not by power nor by might, but by the power of my Spirit, says the Lord. The rebuilding of God's presence in Britain and in this world is simple. We don't need to be out throwing things at people. We need to be praying for our nation. We don't need to be angry about things. We need to be showing God's love to people. The difference is massive. And then by the power of the Spirit in us, when we ask that prayer and ask God to open us up and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I may spill out into this world through with your love, your grace, your mercy, it's a much more powerful means of showing the world what God is about. There you are, salt and light. When you join in the world with its angriness and its hate and its jealousies and its racisms and its other various modes that it can be in, it's horrible. But when we join in with God and ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, give us whatever gift he has that we may use it to his glory, we see a different world. That's my hope and my prayer for us as a church, that we would see a different world through the blessing of God, not through power nor by might, but by the power of his Holy Spirit in each one of us, fulfilled and spiraling out into this world to change it with good news rather than with bad. Amen.